Right now, if you live in a house that has had previous owners, it might be a home to you and to decades of history, maybe a century or more. Some of our listeners have already posted on our Facebook page about their house history hunt. We heard from Steve on Facebook, who learned the professions and family members of all the past owners of his 112-year-old Victorian house. He met the daughter-in-law of the family who built that house, and she gave him a picture from 1909 when the house was the only one on the block. But you might be like Annika, who would love to know more about her house built in 1905, or Mike, who's learned how difficult it can be to find info about his ancient log cabin in Iron County. Our guest today may have some guidance for you. You can join in if you have questions about looking for the history of your house at 800-642-1234, or if you have done some digging and have a story to share. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Joe DeRose is with us now. He's been the Wisconsin Historical Society's survey historian for over 25 years. He's a member of the Historical Society's Speaker Bureau and gives presentations on topics including how to research a building's history. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Rob, for having me.
Well, what are some of the reasons that people get into digging into the history of their house?
Well, it gives a personal connection to it. A lot of times people are looking for someone famous or some elaborate story that happened, and that while that does happen, most of these houses are very mundane, but they still have stories to tell and they are unique.
Let's get into how we do this. There's an easy way and a hard way, I discovered looking around on your website. On your website, some people have done the homework on a lot of buildings around the state. Tell us how we can get to that.
Certainly. Our website is wisconsinhistory.org. And what we have is something called the Wisconsin Architecture History Inventory, or AHI for short. This inventory has information on over 145,000 buildings around the state of Wisconsin. So it's a great way to, it's the first step I would take to find out about your house, because if the digging's been done, it'll save you a lot of work.
Yeah, and I was poking around on there looking for houses I had lived in and some others. And some of it is kind of just nuts and bolts, when it was built and style and things like that. But if people have done a lot of work, there are notes in there that have a lot more history, right?
Sure. Ever since this website went live about 10 or 15 years ago, I get a couple of dozen of these updates every day where people will tell me about their house, and they are diligent, to say the least. I mean, the amount of information they give me concerning the history of their home, it's very personal to them, and it's very accurate, and it's a great source of history.
And is this largely crowdsourced, or is this partly the Historical Society's done some of this work and homeowners have done some of it too?
A little bit of both. My office has a pot of money where we fund architectural surveys of communities where professionals are hired and they document the history of houses. A lot of our information comes through that way, but a lot of it comes from just folks that own the home.
And this isn't just what people might think of as the historically significant houses, the first house built in the city or the town founder's home. This could be any mostly older house, right?
Certainly, yeah. One of the homes I owned was in Stoughton, which is a very heavily Norwegian community in Dane County. And when I researched the history of it, I found out that it was owned by was built by Norwegians.
No surprise there.
But it was very poignant in the fact that they were living the American dream. Ole and Helen, they were in their 50s when they built their first home in the United States, and so we were like caretakers of their prize.
Yeah, does that make you feel different to know some of that history when you go into your house and thinking about Ole and Helen?
Oh, certainly. It makes it alive. You hear about these immigration stories of people, and it's one thing to read it in a book. It's another thing to actually live in it. And it's like, here, people came here in the 1890s, took them 20 years to save the money to build this house, and here it is. It's nothing fancy, not special. It's not historically significant, but it's very personal to these folks.
And as these stories accumulate on your website, is it just supposed to be about, you know, the first owner, the people who had the home built, or if it was built in the 1890s, it'd be interesting to hear, you know, the World War II era people who lived there or wherever?
Certainly. Most of the information on our website is pertains to the first owners, but we're trying to gather those other stories. For instance, we have a project going on in Milwaukee where we're looking at the history of a home. It was built in the 1890s, but the significance lies in the fact that in the 1920s and 1930s, hotels were segregated in Milwaukee, and African Americans could not find a place to stay. Entertainers, they would stay in this house because it was the only place that they could stay. And that was not the original owner of the house.
We're talking to Joe DeRose from the Wisconsin Historical Society about hunting for the history of our houses. He has advice on how to do that, and you can join in with your questions or what you've learned in looking at the history of maybe a house you've lived in. Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Tim is with us in Madison. Tim, hi.
Hello. Thank you.
What'd you want to bring up, Tim?
Well, I live in a house that was built in 1946, a post-World War II house designed by Hernischwager. They're a company, I believe, in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, and it was a prefab house. It was built in May 1946, and it was built specifically for returning veterans.
Oh. And so you want to find out how to get more info about that, Tim, and I imagine there's a lot of houses that popped up in 1946 for returning veterans. If someone wanted to dig more into the history of a house like that, and maybe this is getting more into the more difficult method if it isn't popping up on your website, how could somebody like Tim get started learning more?
Well, Tim's actually very knowledgeable. He's absolutely correct about Hernischwager being a prefab company out of Two Rivers, Wisconsin. A lot of people, when they hear of prefabricated houses, they think of Sears Roebuck houses, mm-hmm. but they were just one of many companies that made prefabricated houses. Hernischwager, my office actually has a file on the Hernischwager company. So, Tim, if you want to get in touch with me, I'd be happy to send you a copy of that information to learn more about the company. But because the property was built after World War II, Madison and some of the larger communities in the state, they have building permits from the early 20th century. So it would be pretty easy to contact the city and find out what the building permit has. It'll tell them who the original owner was, the cost of the house. Be prepared for sticker shock. These things cost about $1,500 to
$3,000. Pre-inflation, yeah.
Yes, very, very, very inexpensive by today's standards, we would think. But it would also give a list of contractors and a great way of finding how buildings have been added onto through the years.
And even if you're not in a bigger city, there are local resources, right, in any community around the state. Where would we go to make that first step?
Sure. The easy part is to take a look, see if there's a building permit. But like I said, they don't exist in smaller communities until after the war or in rural areas until after World War II. So a good source of starting is what are known as area research centers. These are satellites, if you will, of the Wisconsin Historical Society archives. And they're mainly headquartered at the main UW campuses around the state, like at River Falls, Platteville, UW-Milwaukee, etc. And they have information, the types of information you would need. For instance, tax records are the best way of finding out when a property was built because, like today, your taxes are based on the value of the property. A vacant lot is not going to be as valuable as a building. It's common sense, but that's the way it works. So instead of plowing through decades of tax records, you would start looking at historic maps of an area and see if it shows up on one map and not another. In urban areas, we have what are known as Sanborn fire insurance maps, which are online at the Historical Society. And they were done in a series of years. Prior to 1920, we have these on our website. People can look and they can see how a neighborhood has changed. And if you see it on a 1910 map, but not on a 1900 map, you know the building was probably constructed during that time period. And then you can fine-tune your tax record research.
Tim, thanks for that call, and happy hunting. We'll go next to Kevin in Black Earth. Kevin, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I was just curious if there's a different approach to take if it's a rural property such as a farm.
Okay, hunting for our farm history.
Yeah, these are a little more difficult. Rural properties are always a little more difficult to research because they don't have the amount of documentation historically tied to them. I mentioned tax records are a great way to look for when a building was constructed because you're looking for this change in value. Well, that's very simple if you're dealing with a house in a community. If you're dealing with a farm, you're not quite sure if what you're looking at is the house being constructed or the dairy barn being constructed, something like that. A good source to use to help narrow down your search is an architectural guidebook. A very good one is called A Field Guide to American Houses. It was written by a husband and wife team of Virginia and Lee McAllister. This book is commonly available at libraries and online as well. But it has pictures of different architectural styles, and you can take a look at how your building looks and what is in the book, and you can see when approximately it was built. And that's a good way of fine-tuning then your tax record research.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Want to share some more stories from our Facebook page. Jim, speaking of prefab houses, Jim says his house is a Montgomery Ward kit house built in 1930, parts shipped here from a plant in Davenport, Iowa. Wards did the original financing, had to foreclose in 1940, and then the owners immediately prior bought it at that time. And Jim says we purchased it from their estate in 1992. So it sounds like they did some detective work here to trace the provenance, I guess, of their house.
Yeah, that's very common. Like I said, these prefab houses were very common. A good way to find out if your house is one of these prefab houses is to look either in the attic or in the basement on the studs. They're marked with the name of the company, and a lot of research has been done on these various companies.
And we also heard from Mark, who says his house was built over an old cemetery. It's been an asylum and a butcher shop before becoming a residence to many. It sounds like Mark could write a good horror movie, Cemetery, Asylum, and Butcher Shop. But we can find a lot of history, and it's not always residential history for a house.
Certainly. Part of what my office does, I deal with historic buildings, but my office at the Historical Society also deals with archaeological sites. So we'd be able to possibly give them some information on what was there before the buildings were constructed. I'd be very interested to learn more about the cemetery. Is it actually there, or is it folklore?
That's true. That might just be the local legend about the house. Let's talk about one of our listeners named Michael used land plat maps at the County Historical Society. Can you talk about finding, reading those, and what we can learn from them?
Sure. These plat maps are they show land ownership, and they're still in use today. And they will they show buildings in some cases, but they show who owned the land and the acreage. And these plat maps are found at these area research centers scattered around the state, and it's a great way of finding out who owned the land historically.
Now, you go around the state doing presentations on this. I've seen your PowerPoint. Do people get hooked on this like they do on genealogy? Once you start digging in, you want to keep learning more?
Well, that's the fascinating thing about it. I have found kind of a disconnect between genealogists and building researchers.
Really?
To me, it should go hand in hand, because if you don't know the stories of the families that live there, you just have a structure. And the genealogists, on the other hand, you have these stories. They had to live and work somewhere. I try to combine the two. And when I do it, it makes for a very interesting story.
Well, and briefly, once you have the name of the people who lived there, you can start turning to other resources, right, to learn about the owners and what they did.
Sure. That's the key. Once you get the name of the owner, then you can put on your genealogical hat, and you can go to websites like Ancestry.com, and you can plug in the name, and you can find the federal census records. We've been doing censuses ever since we've been a country. You can find out all the people that lived in the house. You can find out their occupations. You can find out their level of education, things like that.
We'll leave it there for now. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's Joe DeRose, survey historian at the Wisconsin Historical Society. He joined us to talk about researching the history of our homes.